This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Tonight's sermon title is Facing Worldliness. But what does it mean to be worldly? Does the Bible teach that this physical world is evil? Absolutely not. In fact, the Bible teaches that God created the physical world perfect. This physical world is a gift to us. In fact, we're going to spend eternity in physical bodies living in a physical world. No, the physical creation is a very good gift of God. However, this world God created that we now live in is not the perfect world that God created in the beginning. Not only is this world cursed by our sin, and the result is that we experience sickness and suffering and natural catastrophes and, of course, eventually death. But on top of that, this good world of God is filled with evil temptations of the devil. And so when the Bible talks about the evil world, it doesn't mean that the creation of God itself is evil. What it means is that the things in this world that are in opposition to God, that's what we need to avoid like the plague. So, to be worldly means that we are deceived and enslaved by the evil temptations of the devil that are so common in this world. Some of the things in this world are evil in and of themselves. For example, pornography, adultery and sex outside of marriage, illegal drugs that harm our bodies, racism, theft, gossip, abortion, greed, on and on. Things like these were never meant to be part of God's good creation. They are evil in and of themselves. However, other things in this world, many things in fact, are good gifts from God, meant to be enjoyed by us. But many of these good things can become idols. That happens when the devil tempts us to love the things and the gifts more than God who gave them to us. For example, in our reading from 1 John, we heard these words: "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." Now please understand, John is not saying that we can't enjoy or appreciate the good things that God gives us. What he means is that if we start loving the things of this world as though money and possessions and other things is what life is all about, and we begin to ignore God and his word, if we cling to our money and possessions in a greedy, selfish manner while failing to support the work of Christ's church or helping the truly needy of this world, well then, we're guilty of worshiping a false god. John says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now this doesn't mean that as Christians we never struggle with these sins. We do. What John means is that if you are involved with these sins, but you could care less. If you are embracing the sinful things of this world, but see no need to repent, no need to be forgiven, no need to have a new life, well then, the love of the Father is not in you. Simply put, we can't worship the world and God at the same time. We can't love the world and God at the same time. That's what Jesus means when he says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So even though money and material possessions and other good gifts of God can be used in a good way. If we begin to worship them instead of God, then we're in a dangerous place spiritually. My friends, it doesn't have to be this way. You see, when the love of God captures our hearts, we begin to realize how foolish it really is to love the world. When we look to the cross and when we behold the sacrifice of God's Son made for us so that we might be saved from death and hell, when we behold that sacrifice, that sign of God's love, we are thereby moved to face our worldliness. We are moved to agree with God that it's evil. We are moved to repent of it. We are moved to trust in Jesus for salvation. And by His grace, we strive to amend our lives and do better. Again, John says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Once again, John is saying that if you love the things of this world, but you have no love for God or no love for His will for your life, then simply put, God's love is not in you. If you do not have God's love in you, then you are a doomed unbeliever. But if you agree with God that your worldliness is evil, and if you trust in His Son for forgiveness, and if you rely on Jesus for the strength to turn away from your worldliness and live a new life, well then guess what? The love of the Father is in you. Because you wouldn't even be thinking that way if the love of the Father was not in you. When the love of the Father is in you, you agree with Him that your worldliness is bad. When the love of the Father is in you, you trust in Jesus for salvation. When the love of the Father is in you, you want to try to live a new life. In our reading from Titus, Paul writes, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions." Now, Paul doesn't mean that if you're a Christian, you'll never be tempted, or that you will never struggle with sinful desires. What he means is that the grace of God gives us a new heart, so that when we are tempted, or when we are struggling with our own sinful desires, there's that new part of us that wants to say no to it because we believe that God has a better plan for us. And so Paul is teaching us that the forgiveness we receive through faith in Jesus, it sets us free. It sets us free to say no to the worldly passions that are in conflict with God's loving plan for our lives. Those worldly passions are those desires and thoughts and words and deeds that are in conflict with God's loving commandments. I'd like to talk about a few examples of these things. You see, we need to face the worldliness in our lives, and we need to agree with God that this worldliness is evil and that we deserve hell because of it. Until we agree with God about that, we're going to see no need for Jesus. But once we recognize the worldliness in our lives, and once we realize that it deserves God's wrath, then we long for salvation and we're able to look to the cross and see the grace and love of God, where He poured out His wrath on His own Son instead of us, that we might be set free. Free to live now and forever as God's dearly loved children and follow His loving plan for our lives. My friends, as God's dearly loved children, we must daily face the worldliness in our lives and then daily, by God's grace, learn to say no to it. I want to give you a few examples of this, some concrete, practical examples. But before I do that, let me confess to you that I am giving you these examples as a fellow sinner. I struggle just like you do. There isn't a day of my life where I don't have to face the worldliness in my own life and repent of it, and trust in Jesus for forgiveness, and rely on Him to begin to try to overcome it. So as I share these things with you, remember I share these things with you as a fellow sinner who needs Jesus as much as you do. So here's some examples of how we can face our worldliness and then cling to Jesus for forgiveness and the strength to turn from it. For instance, if you've been viewing pornography, or if you've been involved in some other sexually immoral behavior, my friends, you must face that worldliness. You must confess it to God. You must trust in Jesus for forgiveness. And then I promise you, God will help you to learn to say no to it. If you've been wasting God's money on illegal drugs, or on abusing things like alcohol or food or other substances that harm your body and that keep you from serving others as you ought, well then, my friends, you must face that worldliness. You must confess it to God. You must trust in Jesus for forgiveness. And then I promise you, God will give you the grace to begin to say no to it. If you've been hurting your neighbor by listening to gossip or by spreading gossip, then I tell you, you must face that worldliness. You must confess it to God. You must trust in Jesus for forgiveness. And then I promise you, God will give you the strength to begin to say no to evil gossip. If you've been greedy with God's money and material possessions, chasing after wealth while giving little or no support to Christ's church and failing to help the truly needy of this world, then my friends, you must face that worldliness. You must confess it to God. You must trust in Jesus' forgiveness and then know that God's grace will slowly but surely begin to change you so that you can say no to worldly greed and yes to being a giver, someone who gives that others might benefit. If you've ever had an abortion, or paid for an abortion, or performed an abortion, or even encouraged someone to have an abortion, then you must face that worldliness. You must confess it to God. You must trust in Jesus for forgiveness. And then know that God's grace will heal you and help you to do better and help you encourage others to choose life. If you've ever disrespected your parents or rebelled against their authority, then you have to face that worldliness. You've broken God's fourth commandment, after all. You need to confess that sin to God. You need to trust in Jesus for forgiveness. And as you focus on God's love for you, He will help you to say no to your disrespect, so that you can begin to love and honor your parents as you should. If you've been unfaithful to your marriage vows, or if you have hurt your spouse by failing to love or serve him or her as you ought, then rather than excusing it or saying, well, everybody else is doing it, well, you just need to face that worldliness for the evil that it is. You need to confess it to God. You need to trust in Jesus for forgiveness. And then by God's grace, His love and mercy for you will begin to enable you to show love and mercy for your spouse. If you've sinned against the third commandment by breaking your confirmation vows, by despising the preaching and teaching of God's Word, by not making attendance at services and Bible classes a priority in your life while you make time for other trivial things, well then, you just must face that sin. You must face that worldliness. You must confess it to God. You must trust in Christ for forgiveness. And then I promise you, God's grace will actually give you a desire to want to hear His Word, to want to study His Word, to want to meditate upon His Word, because that's what comforts you and draws you closer to the Lord and equips you to be a witness for Him in this world. If you've loved or trusted in anything of this world more than you love and trust in God, and I must confess to you, I'm guilty of that and so are you. We're all guilty of loving people or things more than God. Well, we have to face that worldliness. We have to confess it to God. We have to trust in Jesus for forgiveness. And the more we focus on God's love for us, the more we will begin to say no to our idolatry and yes to loving the one true God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. We need to face our worldliness. But we can face our worldliness and say no to it because Jesus faced the cross and he said yes to us. Just think of it. Jesus said no to himself and he said yes to us because he loved us. And the proof that he loved us is that he carried all our worldliness to the cross and there he suffered the damnation that should have been ours. Because of it. My friends, Jesus is our real treasure. Remember that last stanza of our sermon hymn? Let me read it for you. What is the world to me? My Jesus is my treasure. My life, my health, my wealth, my friend, my love, my pleasure. My joy, my crown, my all, my bliss eternally. Once more then I declare, what is the world to me? That's what Jesus is trying to teach us when he says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. My friends, God's love has captured our hearts. That's why we love Him. We love God because He first loved us. We can enjoy the things of this world that God has given us. We can joyfully use the things of this world according to God's will. But remember, His love moves us to say no to loving the things of this world more than God. His love moves us to say no to the evil of this world that is in conflict with God's loving plan for our lives. God's love moves us to face our worldliness, to see the evil that it is, to confess it to God, to know that we have forgiveness in Jesus, and then by God's grace to say no to it and yes to God's loving plan for our lives. So in closing, I'd like you to hear again these words from Paul's letter to Titus. He writes these words for you believers who have been saved by Jesus. Listen to what Paul says to you. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.